Folks, listen up. I've got something crucial to share with you today. In this uncertain world, you need to be prepared for anything, especially when it comes to your health. That's where The Wellness Company comes in, offering you peace of mind in a box with their medical emergency kit. Picture this. You're faced with a medical emergency and you need quick, effective treatment. The Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is like having a strategic arsenal of life-saving medications right at your fingertips. From proven treatments like ivermectin to generic Z-Pax and amoxicillin, this kit has got you covered. But that's not all. Every kit comes with a medical emergency guidebook, ensuring you have the knowledge to use these medications safely and effectively. It's like having a medical professional right there with you when you need it most. And here's the kicker. Use code FFN to get 10% off your medical emergency kit at twc.health/FFN. That's right, folks. 10% off, peace of mind in a box. Don't wait until it's too late. Get your medical emergency kit today and be ready for whatever comes your way. Stay safe, stay prepared with The Wellness Company. Again, use code FFN to get 10% off your medical emergency kit at twc.health/FFN.
Once I found this, you know, I've written engineering specifications, what's called standard operating procedures for major global 2000 companies. You know what this is, JD? This is an, as we say, an SOP, standard operating procedure manual for government censorship of US citizens. In fact, more specifically, it's a manual for how the government can launder censorship. Launder censorship. Remember that term, those juxtaposed words. Launder censorship to big tech. It's laundering of censorship. So the government can say, oh, JD, you're an influence operator. And I'll come to that. And therefore, you are changing our narrative. We're going to tag you, bag you, throw you off, and keep monitoring you for the rest of your life. It is a manual for the deepest violation of the First Amendment.
You know, for a long time, I've been telling people that Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, but in particular, Twitter, has much more of an attachment to government than anyone ever knew. Now it appears that we have some evidence coming out, evidence that's coming from a man who has, well, he's done everything. He has 4 degrees from MIT. He is the inventor of email. He has more credentials than I think we could list in a half hour show. So I'm going to bypass that and tell you to just look him up. And more importantly, to go to his website to find out as much as you can about him and this important lawsuit that he has right now. This lawsuit is, it is a game changer. It is monumental. And as even I believe the judge has said, this is something that's going to be discussed even in law schools for years, decades, perhaps for all of time, because it is just that much of a groundbreaking event. We're very pleased, blessed, and honored to have Dr. Shiva join us today. I was going to introduce you, sir, with your full name and really impress you, but then I chickened out at the end because I don't want to mess it up. So, sir, how are you doing, Dr. Shiva?
I'm doing good, JD. By the way, JD, thanks for all the work you do. You know, I think the intro that you gave talking about the historical landmark nature of this lawsuit, what I find is those people who study history get it. And what you find out is the entertainers on mainstream media either don't want to cover this for one of two reasons, either because it's going to implicate them, because it's also going to show big media as an extension of big government, whether it's Tucker Carlson, whether it's Chris Cuomo, whether it's Fox News or CNN. And that's why I think it's up to folks like you who have, you know, the intelligence and the depth of history to communicate this. So part of the aspect here of this lawsuit is also to build a broad movement among independent journalists like yourself, independent US citizens who actually care about what's going on to this country and the fact that political speech, which is the highest form of protection by the First Amendment, has essentially been destroyed by the collusion of government and big tech, I mean, or big media, which this lawsuit is also going to expose. So I appreciate your doing this.
Well, you flatter me, sir. This is one of the most important topics that I think we've ever covered. And listen, we don't talk about movies or anything like that. We talk about healthcare, vaccines. We talk about COVID-19. We talk about Dr. Fauci. We talk about voter fraud, which you've also had much, much experience with yourself. You were a candidate and you were robbed. I mean, let's face it, based upon everything that I've read, not only were you robbed and not only did that help you to expose what we're going to be talking about today with the lawsuit, but you've been able to use this to engage in a platform. But let's face it, you talk about the entertainers out there. And yes, you're right. Look, Tucker Carlson, I know everybody loves Tucker. Tucker, as Dr. Shiva,
I don't like him.
Is okay. So a good chunk of our audience likes him, but he is an entertainer. He's not a journalist. Okay. If he does occasionally come out with, oh, you know, look, we've got this guest and this guest and this thing, and you know, oh yeah, rah, Tucker. Look, I don't mind the guy, but I don't look to him for cutting news, and I definitely don't look to him for anything other than the entertaining side of conservatism. We need actual news out there, and you're going to present that today. Tell me, you have discovered evidence, and that you're going to be, tell me if I'm wrong, but you're going to be presenting this evidence in a court of law.
It's already been accepted as evidence, right? So let me sort of just step back. I mean, I'm a system scientist, and I look at things as systems. And a system is fundamentally not about the parts of something, but it's about the interconnections between things. And every Monday evening, I teach a class because we want to build a movement for truth, freedom, and health. And we're educating tens of thousands of people on learning system science. Because what I'm going to share with you is those in power, and the intelligentsia that they use in power understand system science. And they're using that in a very effective way against a broad mass of people, not only in the United States, but globally. So that's something if everyone's interested. You know, we've created a website, truthfreedomhealth.com. People should go do that because we're not going to have a movement in the world or in this country unless people understand the foundations of systems theory. So why do I say that? You know, my journey has been across multiple fields. You know, my PhD is in biological engineering. Different areas of engineering, you know, inventorship, science. But parallel to that, JD, as I shared with the judge in our hearings, 20-hour hearings, was that I've always been a political activist, going back to when I was an 18-year-old kid, fighting all sorts of things, be it running massive protests, fighting for food service workers, fighting for basic rights, fighting against racism, you know, real racism, not the fake racism that the liberal elites use. But never was I ever stopped by the government, JD, never. The first time I was ever stopped by the government of the United States for exposing government malfeasance or speaking in the interest of the public was on September 24th, 2020, by the government of Massachusetts. And that's what this lawsuit is about. This lawsuit in one simple sentence, it's this case is about the government silencing political speech of somebody who wanted to criticize him. Now, just think about what I just said. Political speech, silencing someone of political speech who wanted to criticize the government, which is the foundations of the First Amendment. The First Amendment, the highest form of protection, was that you or I could say anything against our government, and we would never be silenced for that. This is why your parents, or your grandparents, your great-grandparents, or my family and I left other countries going into the unknown, people just with suitcases, no jobs. My dad came here at $75, didn't even have a job. And the reason they did that was because of that First Amendment, because it enabled people to have the opportunity to unfold what it means to be a human being, which means you could speak up against your government and you could pursue, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But the First Amendment was a spectacular, you know, innovation of the founders of this country. And this lawsuit is exposing that the First Amendment and our rights to political speech is gone. So I don't want to put rose-colored glasses. It's actually gone. That's why the site that we created says winbackfreedom.com. It's not about saying, oh, yeah, we're going to fight for freedom. You know, we may lose it. No, we've already lost it. And so that's sort of the punchline. So how do I get to this? As you shared, JD, in 2018, you know, I ran as a Republican in Massachusetts against Elizabeth Warren. By the way, the quote-unquote Republicans in Massachusetts are basically Democrats. The Massachusetts GOP works one with the Democratic Party. So I was forced to run as an independent back then because the quote-unquote Republicans found a guy who photoshopped a picture with Trump. Okay, three hands in the picture because they had already anointed somebody. So that was 2018, and the Republicans and Democrats kept me off the debate stage illegally. And so in 2020, we said, okay, we're going to run as Republicans, And this time we had amassed a massive ground base of working people, working conservatives and Republicans who supported our campaign. 3,000 volunteers all across Massachusetts. And again, these weren't like Bernie students. These were actual working people at full-time jobs, and they would come and volunteer their time to our campaign. So we put up 10,000 lawn signs, 20,000 bumper stickers, raised around $2 million. We were everywhere, JD. Everyone knew who Dr. Shiva was. Massive name brand equity, massive respect and integrity for, you know, support for the integrity of our campaign. The Massachusetts GOP finds some loser to run who no one knows, a designated loser. Because remember, the GOP in Massachusetts is in collusion with the Democrats. So September 1st, 2020 was a primary. The word on the street, JD, was we had won on a landslide, not just one, but on a landslide everywhere. Well, September 1st, 2020 comes out, the results come out. We win in the one county, which is, you know, 80 to 90% hand counted paper ballots by 10 points. And in every other county, it was 60-40, 60-40, 60-40, plus or minus, you know, 1 or 2 points. In every other county, to a guy who no one knew, who had no lawn signs, no campaign, no staff, nothing. So I never believed election fraud took place in this country. And that's when I had to start using my skills as a scientist, as a systems guy, as a guy who built email and electronic systems to try to understand how these voting systems work. And by September 9th, you know, I immersed myself in this. I found out that all those other counties where I quote unquote lost use what's called electronic voting machines. By the way, these electronic voting machines come from many vendors, but all of them are certified by the Secretary of State's state election director. These state election directors are the ones who actually look at the machines, make sure it, you know, fulfills certain protocols. And they're the ones who certify them, not only in Massachusetts, but in every state in America. And all of those state election directors belong to an organization called the National Association of State Election Directors. And everyone should just write that down because I'll come back to it and you'll understand why this is important. NASED. NASED is a association of every state election director in the United States, all right, based out of DC. So anyway, September 9th, I found two important things. I found out that all the voting machines have a very fascinating feature called the weighted race feature. In fact, in the Diebold voting manual on page 2-126, it's in black and white. It's a feature where if you got 1,000 votes and I got 1,000 votes and they decide, you know, you should win, they can multiply your votes by 2.2 and my votes, let's say, by 0.5, 2,200 votes are allocated to you, 500 to me. Well, that feature was actually developed for housing associations where, let's say, you owned a condo unit, you had 2,000 square feet and I had 1,000 square feet. You got two votes to my one vote. Let's say we're making a decision on something in the common area, right? There's no reason that feature should be installed in federal electronic voting machines. But the state election director certified that feature. So that's the first thing I found out, that your votes, you don't get one person, one vote. Your votes could be two votes, or my votes, people voted for me, could be a half a vote.
Proud to support a patriotic company that you might have heard of called MyPillow.com and its founder, Mike Lindell. You can support them too by shopping online and using promo code NOCK, that's N-O-Q, at checkout for up to 66% off. Or call 1-800-862-0382. So head on over to MyPillow.com now or after the show. And again, use promo code NOCK, that's N-O-Q, at checkout to receive your discount.
The second thing we found out, JD, is that when on those electronic voting machines, when votes are tabulated or tallied, the paper ballot that you put in is scanned and made into what's called a digital ballot image. Literally a photograph's taken. The artificial intelligence or the software on that machine looks for the, you know, the ellipse for you or the ellipse for me, and it is calculating, it is tabulating the vote counts, okay? Now, according to a law that was passed in 1974, every state for every federal election, the law clearly states, it's 52 USC 20701, clearly states that all records generated in connection with the federal election must be preserved for 22 months, okay? It's in black and white. In fact, every state election director knows of this law because in states like Florida and Arizona, it's been confirmed through the local state courts. All right. So two things I found. First of all, ballot images are created and the voting machines have the ability to multiply votes, which means we don't have one person, one vote. But I hadn't, by September 9th, I had not figured out all the features of the voting machines, how the multiplication worked, but I did know that the ballot images need to be preserved. So my volunteers and I, by the way, on September 1st, the primary ended, but we didn't end our campaign. We moved forward into the general elections, and the slogan of our campaign, get this, was stop election fraud, okay? In fact, we put out 2 million cards all over Massachusetts, flyers. And every town got it. Our volunteers, were, you know, we had a great ground game. So our campaign in the general election was stop election fraud. And on September 9th, we went to the Secretary of State's office and we said, look, we want the ballot images. We issued a FOIA or a public records request. And the chief election officer, the main election officer said, we don't have those images. We have this on video. He goes, we don't have those images. We turned that feature off. Okay, now the voting machines ship with the default, which is save all images, which means someone has to turn it off. Remember, the image must be created to tabulate. And after it's created, if you turn that feature off, they're deleting them.
In a digital age where freedom of speech is at stake, a new dawn is rising. Introducing Pickaxe, the social media platform that stands for constitutional free speech. In quarter one of 2024, Pickaxe will be your platform to voice your thoughts, opinions, and beliefs without fear of censorship. Unlike big tech, Pickaxe empowers you with algorithms that work for you, ensuring that your content reaches those who value your perspectives. And for the content creators who drive conversations, Pickaxe offers monetization opportunities that support your passion while you speak your truth. Join a community that opposes big tech censorship, cherishes the values of America, and celebrates the freedom to express ideas, regardless of their popularity. Navigate with ease, connect with like-minded individuals, and embrace a social media platform that's as unapologetically American as you are. Unleash your voice on Pickaxe, where free speech reigns. Join us quarter one of 2024 and be a part of a movement that's reshaping social media. Sign up today at pickaxe.com and claim your space on the platform where your voice truly matters. Again, go to pickaxe.com and sign up today.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So they have 10 days to respond back to my request. Around September 24th, I get an email from a woman called Michelle Tassinari, who is a state election director of Massachusetts. And get this, she at that time, she was also the president-elect of NASID, the national organization, and the chief legal officer to the Secretary of State. She has three roles. So she writes back and she says, we don't save the images. We don't have to by Massachusetts law. So I write back the second email. I said, can you show me the statute? She writes back, doesn't answer the question. She says, we save the paper. We don't store the electronic digital images. So the fourth email in that conversation, I write back and I say, you violated federal law. This election is null and void because once you can't do chain of custody, there is no election per se. So those four emails, two of mine and two of hers, the screenshots I put up on Twitter. Now, to your point, we have to understand that Twitter is the premier platform for political speech, right? Facebook is really for children and families to say photographs. YouTube is more for gamers and videos, but Facebook is where politicians are, political activists are. And I had amassed around 350,000 followers at that point. And I'm in the middle of a federal campaign. When I put up those four tweets, which are four screenshots in a threaded tweet, bang, I'm taken off Twitter. Never before was I, you know, suspended like this, ever. Now, one of these fictitious fact-checking organizations called Lead Stories does a hit job on me. They say, oh, Dr. Shiva is spreading election misinformation. And misinformation, very important word, right? And in that email, in that article, they say ballots weren't destroyed. I never said ballots. I said ballot images. But one of the blessings in disguise of that hit job article they did was they actually spoke to the Secretary of State. And the Secretary of State told them, yeah, we contacted Twitter. Let me repeat that again. The government contacted Twitter on a U.S. Senate federal candidate, a bona fide candidate with 3,000 volunteers known all over Massachusetts, and told them to do whatever it takes to shut me down. All right, just let that sink in. The government. We're not talking about China, or we're not talking about Russia. Look, in China, Russia, and India, the corruption is, you know, right out in front of you, right? The citizenry knows our government is fascist. But in America, we're led to believe that the government has, you know, supports the First Amendment, et cetera. But here you have the government contacting Twitter on a U.S. Senate federal candidate and telling them to do whatever it takes to get him off. So that's when I knew, JD, I had a First Amendment claim. You know, the Section 230 is hard, right? Because they're a private actor. But here I had the government contacting Twitter. So no lawyer in Massachusetts wanted to take this on. So I had to learn law. And this is not in a traffic court. It's not in state court. It's in federal court. So I filed all the briefs. And remember, I filed a $1.2 billion lawsuit saying this was state action, government action. And as a part of that larger lawsuit, which could take, you know, many months to be heard, I also filed what's called a preliminary injunction, which means, hey, courts, I need you to take action now. I'm a U.S. Senate candidate. I need to get back on Twitter. Okay. The government has knocked me off. Now, most judges, first of all, will not give the terms of a PI because unless it's you. So the litmus test for issuing a preliminary injunction is A, you have to show that there's irreparable harm to me. There's no harm to the defendants. And you have a high likelihood of winning the case. Okay. You have to show those three points. So anyway, October 30th, the judge holds a hearing, a federal judge. And it was me. Remember, my first defendant was the Secretary of State, William F. Galvin, who's been there, by the way, for 40 years. They call him the Prince of Darkness in Massachusetts. It's a complete swamp rat. So I show up. It's three lawyers against me. Never been in federal court. 10 days before this, the judge had asked me and the Attorney General to review a very interesting case, which Clarence Thomas referred to. And I think the Federalist wrote about this, about 3 months ago. It was called Blum versus Yaretsky. It's a very famous case. And Clarence Thomas, that's why he had to uphold Trump being unable to block people, because he said, look, I can't, Twitter in this case is a private actor and there is no state action involved. However, if Blum versus Yaretsky applied here, I would be able to take a different opinion. What is Blum versus Yaretsky? It's a very important lawsuit which talks about state action. When the government is involved in telling a private actor what to do, okay? So the judge asked us in our briefs before the 20th hearing, he says, I want you to talk about this case. So I came in very well prepared and I said, Your Honor, the Blum test is fulfilled here because it's a government who contacted a private actor. And the AG came in, didn't even study it. And the judge ripped him a new one, essentially. And he said, look, he goes, this guy's pro se. And you're an attorney general. He goes, you haven't even answered my question. He goes, he's done a very good argument pointing out that this is state action. So that was a big win. And as the hearing, by the way, JD, the hearing was only supposed to be 45 minutes. It went on for 4.5 hours on October 30th. And what came out of that hearing, the first big important thing that came out in the world, not only in Massachusetts, but not only in federal court, but the world, was the communications director, a woman called Deborah O'Malley, states to the court when we cross-examine her that the government has a trusted partnership with Twitter. Let me repeat that again, a trusted partnership. You and I are untrusted strangers to Twitter, okay? The government has a trusted partnership. And on top of that, we found out for this first time, they have a portal where when the government wants to report you or I, they get VVIP access, which means they have the American Express Black card. You and I have the credit union card. So this is quite intriguing to the judge and I. So that means when I was exposing malfeasance of a government official, which is what the First Amendment allows you to do, the government contacted Twitter using their special portal, which means where the government begins and where Twitter ends is completely blurred now. They're one. So it gets more interesting. This woman also spills her guts. And she also tells us that Michelle Tassinari, who's a state election director, the chief legal counsel, and the president-elect of NASED, had also contacted NASED executive director Amy Cohen and told her to contact Twitter using their trusted partnership. Now, think about this. So Twitter is not only getting the force of the government of Massachusetts calling them, but they're also getting the force of 50 state governments calling them. Take this guy out. And in testimony, she says, after they took my four tweets down, they reported back to her. And in testimony, Tassinari tells the court, I was willing to do whatever it took. Whatever it took. It's in the transcripts. So the judge is listening to this and he goes, you know, maybe I'm old school, but I believe in the First Amendment. Why didn't you simply go on Twitter and argue it out with Dr. Shiva? That's called in the marketplace of ideas. Did you ever think about that? And the state election directors, no, I didn't, slunked over her computer, right? As though they don't care about the laws. They don't care about the US Constitution. So the next victory was a judge gave me all the terms of the PI. He ordered the Secretary of State to stop contacting Twitter. He ordered the Secretary of State to stop contacting NASED. And he said, if you have a problem with Dr. Shiva, you go up on Twitter and you argue it with him. Big victory. Then the judge at the end of that, the judge also made a very interesting point. He said, more than likely, remember, this is the PI, which is a small part of the larger lawsuit. The judge made this interesting point. He said, more than likely, Dr. Shiva will be successful in proving state action was involved, which means I'll win the larger lawsuit, okay? No news media covered this, representing myself. But after that lawsuit, we amended the complaint, JD, and we included not only Galvin, the Secretary of State, as our defendant, but Deborah O'Malley. We added Tassinari, and we added NASED and their executive director. So we added five more defendants, okay, to that lawsuit. So anyway, I was back on Twitter on November 4th, you know, 3 weeks in the middle of my federal election campaign, right? I was off Twitter, my main platform. But starting on November 4th, I start tweeting again, tweeting. And on February 1st, I do a video which goes on for, I think, an hour and 21 minutes. Okay, an hour and 10 minutes. It started at 8:12 and it ended at 9:20. I got to do the math. 21, okay? 9:21. So an hour and 9 minutes. I remember this, very important timing, February 1st. And in that video, I'm educating a lot of our students or followers, et cetera, on what's going on with the lawsuit. And guess what I do, JD? I share those four email screenshots of Tassinari and those four emails. Bang, within 17 minutes, JD, I'm off Twitter. The guillotine fell quite fast. That was on February 1. I go back into court again. I say I had to file another PI, preliminary injunction, and I tell the judge, you know, judge, they were disingenuous when they said they were going to follow your orders, because when they contacted Twitter on September 24th, they knew the keywords were set for me, right? Tassinari, ballot images, lawsuit, right? Because, you know, these are algorithms. And it was all set in place. So when I shared that four emails again, exposing Tassinari, by the way, it's a custodial prison sentence. They had it set to protect her. So the judge this time looked at it and he issued an order and he said, look, before I can give you complete relief, I need you to think about bringing in Twitter. So remember, I didn't bring in Twitter. It was the judge's suggestion. So then I had to file a whole bunch of new papers, JD. It's called motion for joinder, which means to enjoin Twitter. So I filed that paperwork again all by myself, had to do the case law understanding, and filed it. And that led to this historic event that took place on May 20th and 21st. So the judge said, I'm going to hold a hearing. He wanted all Twitter in his courtroom. He wanted the Secretary of State and he wanted NASED, all three, actually six defendants and one potential defendant, right? Twitter was not added yet. So he wanted, the defendants came arguing that the motion should be dismissed. Twitter came in saying, we have nothing to do with this. We're just a private actor. We have the right to throw off, you know, Section 230 immunity. And NASED was like, we have nothing to do with this, right? We're not a state actor. So they're all in court. And you have to remember, it's seven high-powered lawyers. Wilmer and Hale, as you know, is one of the number one law firms in the world. So they had their vice chair, plus two, Patrick Cormace, who's suing the general counsel of the attorney general in Texas. Three of the top lawyers on Twitter's side, three of the top lawyers on the Secretary of State, and one from NASA. The night before that hearing, JD, May 19th, right? This was May 20th, and we thought it was going to be a couple hour hearing. So what I was racking my brains over is, as I read all the briefs, I'm like, what the hell is this Twitter partnership? Like, what is it? What are the details of it? Remember, the first time it was revealed to the world was October 30th. But you go on Twitter's website, you can't find anything about the government Twitter partnership. And around midnight of May 19th, I find on a website in England where the general counsel of Twitter in England is writing to the government of England, talking about something called the Twitter Partner Support Portal. A very anodyne term, you know? Partner Support Portal. Oh, it just sounds like a partner support portal.
Let me break in there real quick. Let's take a quick break, and that's a perfect teaser, because this is the meat of the subject, folks. This is really, you know, what we're about to hear is information that, to me, when I first heard it, I thought, this is it. This is what can finally expose not just government and Twitter, but big tech in general. We'll be right back.
Can you smell it? It's your favorite freshly ground coffee brewing in your favorite cup. If you're anything like me or my family, coffee is essential for our mornings. And even more essential is good quality coffee. Well, Freedom First Coffee is our preferred choice. Made from organically grown beans from Mexico and Peru that are then roasted here in the USA. So head on over to freedomfirstcoffee.com and choose our founder's blend in medium or dark roast, ground or whole bean. That's freedomfirstcoffee.com. And make sure you use promo code NOCK, that's N-O-Q, for 10% off your order. And if you really want to be a freedom lover, choose a monthly subscription so you will never be without your morning joe. Again, that's freedomfirstcoffee.com.
And we're back with Dr. Shiva Iadure. I hope I pronounced your name correctly.
You said it perfectly.
Excellent. He is a polymath of the most extreme degree. And I encourage those of you who aren't familiar, there's a lot of people that claim to be. But hearing him talk today about what he's doing from a legal perspective, I think that solidifies the claim that he does take on expertise in whatever arenas he chooses to. And that's going to play a huge role as he pushes forward against Twitter, against the governments of Massachusetts, the federal government.
Hey there, freedom-loving carnivores. It's Jeff Dornick from Freedom First Network, and I've got a message for you. Are you tired of feeling like your beef choices are under siege? Well, fellow patriots, it's time to fight back with Prepper All Naturals. That's right, folks. In a world where the beef industry is under constant attack, Prepper All Naturals is here to stand tall and proud as a veteran-owned beacon of quality, taste, and freedom. When the guys at Prepper All Naturals set out to provide you with the finest beef products, they knew they had a duty to defend America's beef legacy, and that's why we're proud to partner with them, bringing you the best of what this great land has to offer. Whether it's their succulent freeze-dried beef cubes or their premium freezer boxes packed with steaks and roasts, we're redefining what it means to enjoy beef today and tomorrow. And let me tell you, folks, their freeze-dried beef isn't just delicious, it's built to last. With proper stores, their beef cubes can maintain their quality and freshness for up to a decade, ensuring you'll never have to compromise on taste or nutrition. But wait, there's more. They're not just in the business of selling beef. They're in the business of defending freedom. That's why they promise to never sell you anything less than 100% all-American natural beef. No lab-grown imposters, no experimental jabs, and certainly no compromises with the woke agenda. So, fellow beef enthusiasts, join us in our mission to protect America's beef legacy. Visit freedomfirstbeef.com and use code FFM for 15% off your order. Because when you choose Prepper All Naturals, you're not just eating well today, you're eating well tomorrow. And together, we'll ensure that beef remains a symbol of freedom for generations to come. Prepper All Naturals, where beef meets freedom.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And he's doing this in a way that's going to, if he is successful, it's going to benefit us, which is why I strongly encourage everybody to go to winbackfreedom.com. He often says to donate a dollar, and people ask, what is a dollar going to do? A dollar puts your name in there. It's a person. We need to get as many people as possible. Now, here's the thing. If you can donate $10, $1,000, $1,000,000, do it. But if you can at least donate a dollar, we need to get as many individuals. We need to be able to say that there are X number of hundreds of thousands of people supporting this, supporting freedom here in the United States. So I turn it back over. When we last spoke, you were about to tell us the bombshell that you discovered online that really just blew your mind. So go ahead, sir. Please blow our mind.
Yeah. Out. So those of you joining us post halfway. So, you know, May 20th and 21st, was a hearing date set. So it's me against seven lawyers. It's truly a David versus Goliath story. This is not a hyperbole. That's what it actually is. So when people go to winbackfreedom.com, you'll see this graphic illustration I've done there. It's got, you know, a sort of a illustration of me with a trident and with this big behemoth David who represents not just government, but it represents royalty and the elites who never wanted to give us everyday people the First Amendment. But anyway, so on the night of May 20th, the night of May 19th, before the lawsuit, I'm racking my brains trying to figure out what is this Twitter partnership? And I was very fortunate. I found a letter between the general counsel of Twitter in England being written to some government official talking about very in a proud way that we have created this partner support portal. This is in 2018 and called the Twitter Partner Support Portal, which allows and she's talking in the letter how the parliamentary security forces of the United Kingdom were one of the people using this to basically surveillance and you know report on British citizens. And she said, we have other partners. So that's the first time I saw PSP, Partner Support Portal. I bumped into this discovery of what is that technology that they have. So then I went and saying, okay, let me find out what PSP is. I couldn't find it anywhere. Had to do Google's advanced search. Many years ago, I used to build search engines on CD-ROM. So there's a search capability called adjacency searching. So anyway, I was fortunate. I found three hits that came up, JD. And one of them was on a cyber intelligence, some server somewhere. And that came up with, you know, a series of four documents. They were sort of dog-eared, but you can see this, okay? It's called the Election Interference Operations Playbook. And you can see it's for state and local officials. And it says, understanding election mis and disinformation. And who is the place where it was produced? It's at Harvard Belfer's Institute. All right. By the way, when you walk into Harvard Yard, you're walking back into the 1500s. Remember, these people never wanted to give us the First Amendment. All right. Now, what's interesting is, so remember, my defendants are Michelle Tassinari, the Secretary of State's office, Twitter, and NASID. Now, throughout their briefings where they want to get my case dismissed, oh, we don't know them. Twitter's claiming Amy Cohen when she's just a private citizen. We don't even know who she is. Just some private citizen called us to throw them off. So once I found this, you know, I've written engineering specifications, what's called standard operating procedures for major global 2000 companies. You know what this is, JD? This is an SOP, standard operating procedure manual for government censorship of US citizens. In fact, more specifically, it's a manual for how the government can launder censorship. Launder censorship. Remember that term, those juxtaposed words. Launder censorship to big tech. It's laundering of censorship. So the government can say, oh, JD, you're an influence operator, and I'll come to that. And therefore, you are changing our narrative. We're going to tag you, bag you, throw you off, and keep monitoring you for the rest of your life. It is a manual for the deepest violation of the First Amendment, political speech. So On May 20th, I shared this with the judge. The judge found this remarkable. I just read a couple of paragraphs from it. He goes, remember, I want you to submit that as evidence right away. So I stayed awake all evening on the 20th until midnight. I wrote up a 12-page brief giving the judge highlights of this, and it got submitted. The judge came into court the next morning at 10:30 a.m., and he said, you know, I got up at 6 a.m. to read this. And he starts off that hearing saying, this case will more than likely be a law, quote unquote, a law school exam in every constitutional law class. Now, this is a federal judge who's a senior federal judge. The youngest, I think one of the youngest federal judges appointed by the Reagan administration. No one picked up on this. There were 400 people on that Zoom call. So then the judge proceeds to ask me, he says, you know, you've been representing yourself. Are you open to me recommending to you a constitutional lawyer who can help you button up your arguments? And I said, Your Honor, I would have gotten a lawyer, but Twitter was my platform. I have not been able to raise money. You know, I've expended so much of my own personal time, probably, you know, over $1 million. All the other businesses I run have been put on hold. Anyone who's an entrepreneur will know the incredible sacrifice that my family and I've made, because no one funded me for all of that, right? We've had to fund ourselves, all that lost time. And I said, I'd love to consider that. And the defendants were completely upset. And the judge said, you know, I may even be able to fund some of this. So, and he said, you know, you can continue this conversation with me ex parte, which means behind chambers. Both defendants objected. So we did it openly in front of 400 people. All right. Completely, fully transparent. So at the end of that process, the judge said, you know, I am going to give you the opportunity to come back to me in a week and tell me what you want to do. Then the hearing proceeded. So as the hearing proceeded, the judge allowed me in the second part of it to share the details of this playbook. And I went page by page. I said, you know, judge, let's start with part. First of all, let's start with the two working documents that was created in February of 2018. Okay, those are those two documents. Okay. Again, brought to you by Harvard Belfer School. Okay. And you can see what the anodyne term is, right? Okay, defending democracy. Very Orwellian, as though these guys, we elected them to defend our democracy. Now, these are the two foundational documents. And guess who the authors of these are? Two people said they didn't know each other, or, you know, they had only, you know, little contact. You go to the opening page, JD, of these documents, and what do you see here? You see, I'll put it up in the camera, if you can see it. You see Amy Cohen, the executive director of NASID, and Michelle Tassinari. Okay, wow. These are the architects, the two defendants, who said, we don't know anything. Shiva's just, they read Wikipedia too much, okay? So, which is good for me, they underestimated us. So these two documents are done by, both put together by two of the defendants, okay, architects. These two documents, 2 years later, in April of 2020, they led to the actual playbooks. These playbooks are like, you know, a coach's, a quarterback's playbook on how you identify, surveillance, and blacklist influence operators. Okay, so what are these? What's an influence operator? Well, in part one, this is like the Communist Manifesto of the ideological framework of defining what an influence operator is. Okay, they have a theory. So they define what an influence operator is. Well, what is an influence operator? An influence operator is someone who is getting on social media and putting out, in their definition, quote unquote, misinformation. Okay? And they have a checklist of what they consider misinformation. One of the bullets, of among the five bullets, is anyone who is attacking an election official and stating that they're corrupt. So that's what I was doing. I was saying the state election director, who is the architect of this. So there's a fourth bullet in here saying, One criteria of an influence operator, someone who's attacking an election official and saying that election official is corrupt. That's what I was doing. Not only corrupt, I was saying she violated the law. So that's why Michelle Tassinari was freaking out, because she has a potential custodial sentence. So this first part is the ideological framework. But as a systems guy, JD, you know, page, as a manual, this is actually a manual for censorship. So page 21, you see this very interesting systems diagram. It has step one, you know, anticipate and prepare for an influence operator. Step two, identify and assess them, which means rate their level of how dangerous this person could be, high, medium, and low. Step three, respond and quote unquote resolve, right? And four is learn and improve. But notice the cycle keeps going. You keep monitoring them. It doesn't end, all right? So this part one is the overall architecture of censorship. Part two is the actual details of how you censor someone, step by step by step. And what does part two say? Part two begins with where part one left off, with that beautiful circle. And it says, when you want to assess someone, first of all, associate keywords with them, which is what I put in my, and they were saying keywords. We don't know anything about keywords. You know, move along. Nothing here to see. Says right here on page 16, develop indicators and warning signs. Okay. Keywords. All right. That's how you identify and assess people. So the keywords associated with me were Tassinari, ballot images, election fraud. All right. The next step it says is now you need to assess the influence operator. What severity are they? How dangerous are they? Well, they have three criteria. This is on page 20 of the manual. And one of the criteria is, are they an established voice? Clearly I was. Do they have credibility? Well, 4 degrees from MIT, PhD, Fulbright scholar, right? Volume. Well, I do a tweet, I used to get 10, 20,000 retweets. So I, according to this, JD, was put as a high threat influence operator. All right. Then they give you a step-by-step analysis. Once you bucket someone, how you deal with them. Okay. High, medium, and low. A high level security threat is not only tagged and thrown off, but the bullet says right there, you can see, it says continue monitoring them, feedback loop. See that last bullet? Mm-hmm. Okay, it says continue media and digital monitoring and feedback loop. So what happened was, and by the way, in this manual, then it goes on and gives you toolkits. It talks about the partner support portal, Twitter's partner support portal. And it says in black and white that when you contact through this medium, you get rapid access to flag people and take them out. You can use simple email, but we suggest you use our portal, the PSP. And that's in black and white on the page here, you know? So, and the partner support portal clearly says on page 47, right? I want to show this to people so people see what the hell has become to this country, okay? It says clearly there, you can use other medium, but we highly recommend you use the portal because you will, it says, is the best mechanism to get content flagged for faster review, right? That's a VIP portal. There's nothing else to even talk about anymore. This was created, you know, I mean, at the Belfer Institute by people we didn't even elect. State election directors are not elected. Amy Cohen is not elected. And it gets even more interesting. Let me show you who's the author of this playbook. Right in the front page, all of them claiming. So remember, Twitter Legal was claiming, we don't know who Amy Cohen is. So you see Twitter Legal right there as the author. And guess who is also the other author? Right there, Amy Cohen. Who's a woman that contacted them to throw me off, and Twitter in their affidavit said, she's just a private citizen, Your Honor. We don't know who she is. Well, you architected the playbook with her. So clearly you know who she is. So anyway, when the judge heard all this, he made an interesting remark. I'm paraphrasing, it's in the transcript. He goes, this goes at the foundations of political speech in this country. So what we have put, and by the way, this is all evidence in court. So look, for many, many years, you've had people on the left and right who believe in the First Amendment talk about theoretically, right? This is more even important than what Snowden disclosed. This is our government doing this for political speech to political candidates, which means you can't say anything. It's not just bugging citizens. This is even deeper than that. This is going after the foundation of the First Amendment, which means you have the right to say anything against public officials. So what this is really about, JD, this is saying that today we live in a world where government ends and where a private corporation begins, like a Twitter, is become completely blurred. And that blurring is what should be very, very upsetting to everyone. Because in my view, what's occurred is the quote unquote, the left and the right, what they've done is they have afforded Twitter Section 230. And in return, Twitter and the social media companies have afforded the government this. This is their handshake. And you can see this manifested itself about 4 days ago. Remember Biden up until Friday or Thursday, you know, the Facebook up until Thursday of last week was if you put any Facebook post up there that says that the virus was man-made, you'll be off, you'll be deplatformed. We're going to flag that tweet or that Facebook post, right? But when Biden said, we're going to now review Intel, if that's true, suddenly Zuckerberg said, okay, you can talk about that and we won't do that. That means Zuckerberg and Dorsey jump when the government says to jump.
And you could argue it goes the other way as well, that government right. sometimes jump when Zuckerberg and Dorsey say jump.
Yeah, they're one. It's wave and particle. You know, as you study in physics, mm-hmm. they're one. So that's what we have to understand. What our lawsuit is going, it's not just big tech. It's we're going at the heart of the issue here, that with modern technology, this is basically a document that lays out the infrastructure of government censorship using big tech. That's why, JD, can I just share my screen? I don't know if you can Please. Share it. Yeah, you just have to give me share rights. So when I, when I built that graphic, you know, there was a very interesting graphic that was done on David and Goliath. So we took a variation of that. And if you go to, you may want to edit this out when you do this. But if I go here to winbackfreedom.com, all right, you notice the diagram that we have here, the head of this is not big tech. It's this guy stomping on, this is a, you know, picture, you know, sort of an illustration of me, but what our lawsuit represents is the forces of people's movements over many, many centuries, fighting for basic rights to free speech. And what you see here is, it was just 2 weeks ago that idiot Harry was at the Aspen Institute saying the First Amendment is bonkers. The royalty never wanted to give us the First Amendment. So we put that in this picture. You have all the big academia here, but the key thing is they're laundering censorship through election directors, right? They identify influence operators, they flag them, they set keywords, but National Associate State Secretaries of State and NASID is the vehicle through which they contact big tech to step on us, okay? So Twitter's at the end of this supply chain. That's why, you know, everyone, to your point, I want to encourage everyone to go to winbackfreedom.com. You know, I'd rather get $1 from 5 million people. If you want to donate more, it'd be awesome. But we need to build this broad movement. And that movement needs to recognize that we have actually lost. We've lost political speech in this country. It's gone. And we need to win it back. The positive thing is we can win it back, but it has to be a bottoms-up movement. It's not going to come from government because they're part of it. Even the DeSantis bill in Florida, man. It's riddled with a fundamental flaw. It's government still treat, huh? It's not going to stick because it's still treating them as private actors because the government would have to put a mirror to their own face. They're part of it. And this is why government will never eliminate Section 230 or even try to reform it in any tangible way because they have an agreement. It is sort of the infinity symbol, right? 230 stands over here and we'll let you censor over here. It's one. So that's what this lawsuit is about. So I think we've hit upon something quite profound here. It is not, you know, O'Keefe here doing little dramatic things on CNN. By the way, it's interesting. He won't go expose Fox, right? So you have typically the discussion on the First Amendment is left or right. In my view, this is beyond left or right. It's something that every American should be concerned about. It's not the right does it to the left or the left does it to the right. Both the establishment is one on this.
Right.
They have recognized that they do not want everyday people critiquing them. And they've created, now this is very important, not only to the issue of election integrity, you could just change the keywords using this playbook to be medical freedom or vaccines, right? Or GMOs. Whatever the government industry narrative is, this infrastructure can be used to silence political speech on the opposing side. And that's what we've discovered here. The good news is this is in federal court. And by the way, the important thing is on the 21st, the judge said, you know what? I am going to decline all motions to dismiss. I want to go to discovery. I want depositions. He says the facts of this, the merits of this case are so intertwined with what you want me to dismiss it for. I can't dismiss it. He goes, so that's where we're headed towards, which is going to be very profound for the American people because we may have the opportunity to depose people. We may have the opportunity to do a discovery like never been done before. So that's what's going on, JD. So this is a, you know, I brought it this far, but I need help, right? To do depositions and discovery and transcript. I've never done that. I've learned how to write briefs. I could probably learn how to do that, but I'm probably going to burn myself out doing that and trying to survive all my business because I have employees and families that also count on me. So we need to leverage this lawsuit is the tip of the spear for freedom right now. And it will, it's already in history, but it will, the more we build this bottoms up movement and make sure that we have enough, you know, support so we can do enough discovery, because discovery is quite expensive, right? Because they could ship us 100,000 documents today. We need people to go through them, index them, sort them, figure this out. It's just manpower. So I can't do it on my own. So that's why we need support. But again, $1 to winbackfreedom.com. And to your point, it's more of all of us saying, I want to be part of this, right? I want to be part of this movement. I want to be part of making history. This is important to me. So isn't $1 worth it? And by the way, the other lawsuit I have, JD, we have, you know, also survived a motion to dismiss, which is the one person, one vote lawsuit. After I figured this out, I filed another lawsuit showing that they multiplied my votes. Remember, there's two issues, the ballot images and the vote multiplication by 0.666, and they multiplied the other guy 1.2. So they multiplied my votes by, anyone who voted for me was cut by 2/3, and the other guy was increased by 20%. We filed all the analysis. No one has rebutted my mathematical analysis. And the judge denied their motions to dismiss. And the judge has both lawsuits, and he recognizes this is related to this.
We have to get you some... I know the judge offered, had some recommendations. If we can get enough money at winbackfreedom.com, will you hire help?
I have. So I've talked to two attorneys, so on the 27th, I told the judge, there's one attorney that the judge recommended, a guy called Howard Cooper. And the other attorney that I'm putting out there is Charles Harder. Charles was my attorney. He took it on contingency when I fought Gawker Media. If you remember, they said all sorts of nasty stuff, clickbaiting company. And we were victorious in that. You know, I won that lawsuit and I was made the chairman of the bankruptcy committee to sell Gawker off. So those are the two attorneys I've recommended to the judge that I want to bring in.
Excellent. Well, I hope that we can get enough money raised for you. I will talk to you offline because I do have some ideas on that. But any last... Anything else? We're on with Dr. Shiva, and we're going to do this as if like Adele or Beyonce, where the one name is sufficient. People know who you are now, and we need more people to know who you are. Any last thoughts on what we can do as Americans, as patriots, as people who are very interested in what you're doing? Mainstream media is not touching this, as you mentioned. You keep invoking Fox News. People who watch my show know that I cannot stand Fox News.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Oh, no. I have not been a friend of Fox News since November 4th. And even before then, I thought that they were at best lukewarm. Now I realize that they are actually part of the problem and quite evil. So with that said, mainstream media is not going to cover this. I've seen you on other shows. I've seen you with Bannon. I've seen you with us. You're going to be going on with my good buddy, Jeff Dornick, this week, I believe. We need to get some exposure. What else can people do? What can people do to get the word out?
So if we follow, you know, I believe the ends never justify the means. The means has to match the end. So what's the means here? The means is we need to build a bottoms-up movement. By the way, JD, I've created our own. I don't know if you know, I used to run one of the largest data centers in the world for all the biggest Fortune 1000 companies. I have my own building, my own data center. So I have contributed that data center to our movement for truth, freedom, and health. When the Senate campaign ended, we've never conceded. We had thousands of volunteers and they said, Dr. Shiva, what's next? I said, look, we're going to build a movement now globally. So on vashiva.com, if people go to truthfreedomhealth.com, they'll see that we've created a platform. And that platform begins with education. So every Monday evenings, I run a 3-hour course educating people on systems thinking. You see, you can't build a bridge without Newton's laws. You can't build an airplane without Bernoulli's principles. We're not going to be able to build a movement, but there are scientific principles. And that's probably one of the biggest innovations beyond email and all that that I feel I will have contributed. So that knowledge, that course is what I do every Monday evenings. Plus, we've created our own infrastructure, JD, on vashiva.com, where we have our own Facebook, our own forum, but it's only for the trained alumni so they can organize. We need people educated. And the third is an activism piece. So everyone should go check that out, truthfreedomhealth.com. But on this lawsuit, what we need people to do is participate bottoms up, which means folks like you, JD, anyone you can refer who are other independent journalists, you know, I need to go on there and continue to do these kinds of discussions and education. The second thing, anyone listening to this, you're also a journalist. Remember, the press wasn't supposed to be for the New York Times when the founders thought about it. Everyone was the press. People should listen to your podcast here, write up their own little understanding and put it up on their own social media. They should be talking about it. They should become citizens journalists. We need thousands and tens of thousands of people to start doing that. Plus, they should get everyone to donate $1. It needs to go viral, but educational, neighbor to neighbor. And that's in the spirit of what freedom of speech is about. The freedom of the press, the founders never thought, oh, this is a press or that's a press. No, we were all supposed to be the press. And that was the foundations of the First Amendment. Everyone was the press. So we need to take that back. So my point is that let's use this opportunity not only to support the lawsuit, but everyone expressing their views, everyone doing their own write-ups, everyone getting this out in their own, you know, way, you know. So be a citizens journalist, talk about this lawsuit, proliferate it, write about it, tweet about it, right? Do podcasts about it. Plus get everyone to donate $1 because that's part of this movement.
Dr. Shiva Iyadure, it has been a pleasure. Everybody go to winbackfreedom.com. Donate $1 or more or 10 or however many you can, because this is an important fight. Sir, God bless you, and may your endeavors with this lawsuit yield fruit.
Thank you very much, JD. Thank you for all you do. Thank you.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.